Have you ever wondered why in the Old Testament there is so much blood shed, there's so much blood used? Have you ever noticed that? All the sacrifices. In one sense, if you think about the temple and you think about the altar there and the sacrifices that were going on constantly, shedding of blood, the priest's job was to take the blood that was spilled. You offered the sacrifice. You slit its throat, and then the priest caught the blood and then offered the sacrifice and the blood. There was a lot of blood. It was like a butcher shop in some ways, if you want to think about it. Why all that blood? And then there was blood also with circumcision. There was blood all over the place. Why all the blood? Why? What was the point? And have you ever wondered how in the New Testament there's no more blood? The sacraments are bloodless. There's no blood. It's water, it's wine, it's bread, but there's no blood. And yet in the Old Testament, in order to approach God, you had to have the shedding of blood. Why? Well, because the wages of sin is, and blood is a symbol of death, because life is in the blood, and so the shedding of blood is the taking of life. And so it was a message over and over again that there is judgment for sin, and the wages of sin is death. And what did you do with the sacrifices? You brought the sacrifice, you put your hands on the head of the animal, and you confessed your sins, and the animal became you, and then it died in your place. But now, we read in Hebrews chapter 9, we can look at verses 12, 14, 26, and 28, among others, and saying what? There's no longer a need for that. Why? Because Jesus Christ shed his blood once for all. There's no longer a need for blood. But is blood symbolized in the sacraments? Does water point to the blood of Christ in baptism? The answer is yes. Does the wine point to the blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper? The answer is yes. It's not the shedding of blood, but it's the remembrance of what Jesus has done. So we celebrate Jesus, which is what the Old Testament sacrifices were designed to do. They were pointing forward to what Jesus would do on the cross. And now we celebrate that. Notice in our statement a couple things where it says, we are received into the church of God and separated from all other people and strange religions. How was Israel separated, or better yet, how was Noah and his family separated from all those that perished at the flood? And I just answered the question. Was that the flood? They perished because of water. And they were saved because of water. Okay? They were in the ark, which pointed to Christ. Peter talks about that. When was Israel, as a people, as a big family before they became a nation, when were they separated from Egypt? Was it when they left, or was it when they crossed the Red Sea? When they crossed the Red Sea. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you know what Paul calls that crossing of the Red Sea? Interesting word in the New Testament. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant or unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So God separated Israel from Egypt through baptism. God separated Noah from destruction by baptism. How are we distinguished from the world formally? By baptism. I like to think of baptism as the formal adoption certificate. Many years ago, I had the privilege of going to an adoption of a family. They adopted this little girl, Amiko, and she was probably about 7. And the judge, during the proceedings, he left the bench and he walked down to this table that was in front of him, pulled out his pen, and there was the adoption page. And he said to Amiko,
This is a significant event in your life. And then you signed the document. And you said to Amiko, he said, that is your daddy. That is your mommy. You are now Amiko Castillo. And it struck me, that's what happens in baptism. It's God signing the adoption papers. Now, we're adopted in Christ before, when we believe, as part of the work of the Spirit. But when does it formally identify to the world that you belong? In baptism. And so for me, that helps to understand what baptism is about. It's not what I do. It's what God does. He says, you're mine. You're my child. You belong to me. We're separated from the world. We're separated from strange religions. We have been adopted and formally declared so. Amen?